Okay, so yesterday we got partway through the last Mishnah in Kinim. Let's do a quick review. You'll notice the Mishnah was structured. You may not have noticed this yesterday. The Mishnah is structured in a way that the results are that the woman has to bring one extra korban, two extra korbanos, three extra korbanos, four extra korbanos. We're up to four, but let's go over the cases that got us to four. Okay? So at the beginning of the Mishnah, basically the new premise for this Mishnah was that the woman promised that when she has a child, for which she would normally be obligated to bring a kan of one chatas and one ola, she will now also, she is also accepting upon herself, she is promising to bring a second kan, which would therefore be two olas, because it's a neder. Okay? So, again, if she has a child, the case that we were working towards was that she brings her four. The Kohen thinks this is for two childbirths, and therefore does two olos and two chataos, meaning two above and two below, in which case one of the olas, one of her three olas, she brought three olas and one chatas, one of her three olas was performed incorrectly, she's got to bring one. Okay? The second case. If the two kinim were from two different types of birds, and he doesn't remember which one he did first as a chatas, meaning the one that he did first as a chatas would be valid, whereas the one he did second as a chatas would be invalid, then she's got to bring two birds, one of each type, as an ola. Okay, that was case number two. Case number three.
So yeah. Isn't it similar to the other one? She has to bring one, but she doesn't know which type of bird.
Exactly.
She has to bring, right?
So that's exactly the logic. Correct.
Right. Okay.
Next. Okay. Case of three. Okay. She promised to bring a specific type of kain. She promised to bring a particular type of kain, either Torim or Bnei Yonah. And in this case, in the case of where, again, she'll have to bring three, she actually decides to bring all of her four birds just of one type. Okay? So, meaning her childbirth kain and her neder kain are all, let's say, Torim. Now, we know for sure she needs to bring two olas as Bnei Yonah, because maybe that's what she promised. So the two is easy. The third one, however, is that if, in fact, it was supposed to be Torim, the Kohen still performed one incorrectly. So now, again, she's got to bring the two of the opposite type, which she has not yet brought as two olas, plus the possible one that was performed incorrectly. Good? So that would be three in total. The case of four, which was a little bit more complicated, which was the last case that we explained yesterday, was combining the problems of the last few cases. So again, she promises a particular type of bird that she hasn't remembered. And in this case, she brings two different types of birds, but we don't know, again, which one was sprinkled first and which one not. Now, because of this, if, let's assume, that she brought Bnei Yonah for the Ola, which we don't know, by the way, again, she brought one pair of Torim and one pair of Bnei Yonah. And we don't know, again, which one the Kohen sprinkled first below to make it valid. But let's assume that it was the Torim for a moment. Well, she has to bring two Bnei Yonah regardless, because she's got to bring that to fulfill her obligation. Okay, she's got to bring two Bnei Yonah. She might also have to bring a Tor. She might also have to bring a Tor, meaning if, in fact, it was the Bnei Yonah that were actually sprinkled. Sorry, one more time. She started with one type of bird. Let me just reset. I don't want to lose my train of thought. Let's say again, she brought Torim and Bnei Yonah. Again, we don't know which one was the one that was sprinkled incorrectly that she'll have to bring one of. And as a result, we also don't know if the right type was brought, which means she'll have to bring two. So in theory, the original logic would have been she's got to bring basically three of each type. However, the Mishnah notes that by bringing two of each type, you've guaranteed fulfilled all of your obligations, because at a maximum for each of the given scenarios, the maximum of each type of bird could have been two. There's never a situation where you actually have to bring three of one bird. So if you brought two Torim and two Bnei Yonah, your bases are covered no matter what. If you brought the wrong type of bird and you have to bring the other type of bird, so great, you've got two of the other type. And if you brought the right type of bird but the Kohen performed one incorrectly, so within the two of your type of bird, you've brought it. Okay, so that's why you have to, the Mishnah says, just bring two of each. Even though in theory, in each case, it's an option between bringing two of the other type or one of your type, and there are two possible cases. They're opposite cases. Nevertheless, if you bring two of each type, you will guaranteed have fulfilled your neder. As we said, that actually itself is very simple logic. Just bring two of each type, and whichever one you promised, you fulfilled. Done.
So two of each type means you're bringing four.
Four additional birds.
But you brought four
to begin with,
right?
Yes.
So,
wait till the end of the Mishnah. You're going to love the end
of
the Mishnah.
But make sure the Kohen doesn't mess up.
Yes. Yes.
When you bring four of them.
Yep. Yep. Although these four are all going to be Olas, right? This next set, because the Chatat, the childbirth Kohen, was done correctly.
Oh.
Always, right? If he's doing two above and two below, the first one that he does below is the Chatat of the childbirth Kohen.
Okay.
But still you have to bring an additional four Olas. That's the case of the Mishnah. Again, as we said, the Mishnah goes successively here, one more in each case. Wait till you get to the final case. I'm sure you will love it. Because I already see you're like, I have to bring four. She already brought four. Like, this is getting a little heavy. So let's continue.
What you said, that's why you can't just summarize it by saying, well, you just start all over. Because you're not starting all over.
Correct. It's for Olot rather than... Because the childbirth was fulfilled.
Yeah, because he's got to get one right.
Correct. He's got to get... But the one Kohen... And he's even gotten one Ola right. The problem is we don't know if it's the right Ola.
Wait, but this is a case... The birds are... There are two different types of birds?
Yes. And so, therefore, we don't know which type of bird was brought as the childbirth Kohen and which type of bird was brought as the non-childbirth Kohen.
He bought four Olas, didn't he?
No. So let's resume. Let's one more time this last case. Don't worry about it. It's not... It's very, very hard to keep track of.
Okay.
A woman promised, when I give birth to a child, I will bring a specific type of bird. Whoops, I forgot which type of bird I was going to bring. I know I have a brilliant idea. Even though I'm obligated in my childbirth Kohen, I will bring two for my childbirth Kohen and two as my promise, thinking that since I'm bringing these from two types of birds, well, I fulfilled my obligation, whichever one it was, that can be the Olas. Problem is, Mr. Cohen does not know she's bringing two Olas, in meaning one of them is a neder and one of them is for childbirth. He thinks they're both for childbirth. So he's like, okay, Ola Chatat, Ola Chatat. Great, fantastic. Everyone's happy, right? She's like, what did you do? Now you messed it up. It was actually supposed to be Ola Chatat, Ola Ola. And then he's like, oh, good point. Well, what should we do now? So at this point, she's in trouble. First of all, we don't know if the ones that were performed, okay, for her childbirth were the Torim or the Bnei Yona. Since we don't know if they were the Torim or Bnei Yona, out of doubt, she must bring two of each. Because that's what she promised to do alongside a childbirth Kohen. That's the simple explanation. We noted that it's also possible she only had to bring one, but by bringing two, you've obviously brought more than one.
Right.
That's the case that we're up to. Okay, so this is the case where, this is the case where she must bring two full kinim as two Torim and two Bnei Yona, all four Olas. Now, I'm going to read the next case. Here we go. Okay, and this again was Mishnei Minin Tavi Arba. Kava'a Nidra. Everybody see that? It's right after the two dots. Kava'a Nidra. Okay, last case we had to bring four extras. Now we've got to bring five. In my opinion, this is the one that's hardest to understand, but here we go. Okay? And to quote my notes verbatim, because... okay. Kava'a Nidra. Okay, this case is... And again, this is just quoting my notes because of how I felt at this point. If the poor woman was stupid enough to say that she would bring a specific type of Kohen, new change, alongside her childbirth Kohen, she says, I will bring together with, not in addition to, like the previous cases, but together with my childbirth Kohen, I will bring a specific neder Kohen. Again, we don't know if it's Torim or Bnei Yona. She didn't specify the type. But she did specify a type, but she doesn't remember which type she specified. Okay, so now, in an ideal world, at the time that she brings her childbirth Kohen, at that time, she will bring also two Torim as an Ola and two Bnei Yona as an Ola. That's the easy thing to do, just like the last case, ideal situation. So let's go through the two kinim of the same type situation and then the two kinim of opposite types, just like the previous case. The only difference between this and the previous case is that there, the bringing of the neder is not chronologically tied to the bringing of the kan, of the regular kan chova for her childbirth. There's no problem if you bring them separately. Here, they have to be brought together.
What does that mean, bring together?
Together. She said, I will bring it at the time that I bring my obligatory sacrifice. Okay? So, here we go. Says the Mishnah, Tzricha lehavi od chamesh predot mimin echad. So what's going on here? So let's just say the case. She says, I'm going to bring a neder of a specific type, oops, I forgot, alongside my childbirth kan. Here we go. So again, ideally she must bring three kinim, one for her childbirth of any type, either Torim or B'nai Yonah, and then one of Torim and one of B'nai Yonah for her neder, meaning one pair of Torim and one pair of B'nai Yonah for her neder. What happens is, no. She brings only two kinim of the same type. Okay, she brings only two kinim of the same type. She needs to bring, says the Mishnah, five extra birds. This I found the hardest, even when I was studying this and writing my notes. Now, since she didn't bring any of the birds potentially together with childbirth, because she only brought really four birds, and they were all of the same type. Potentially speaking, let's say she had promised the other type of bird. Well, she didn't bring any of those. So therefore, say the Mefarshim, she didn't fulfill her promise at all. She still has to bring those two birds, olas, of the type that she promised, which she doesn't know, so essentially four olas, along with her childbirth, korban. Yet, she said she was going to bring it together with her childbirth, korban. So what do? We make her have one more ola that we say is a replacement for your childbirth. I guess we don't want to make her bring another chatat. We make her bring one additional ola and say, this is your childbirth ola, plus you bring two of each type of olas along with it. So you have five olas total that she's bringing, and this way it's considered, since she's bringing her childbirth ola now, it's considered that she brought these pairs along with her childbirth ola. Fair?
Why four and not two? Because her only obligation to bring together for the nedava is the two. Why two extra pairs of ola? I missed that part.
So, meaning you're asking, why doesn't it count to have the two of the same type that were already brought count as olas because they were brought together with the chatat of the childbirth?
Yes, I think that's what I'm saying.
Right. So I wrote that I'm not 100% clear. And I think it's because we assume, worst case scenario, the two olas that the Kohen did, because he did two above and two below, were only the olas of the neder. And if they were only the olas of the neder, then there has not been a childbirth ola brought. That's my best guess, even though you did the chatat of the childbirth. But I didn't see it expressly explained. Again, this was, I think, the most unclear case that I had in my notes, but that's what I have over here. I wrote in brackets, I think that's because maybe we consider, but I don't have a concrete answer. My assumption is, or we could say the other option, would be to say that since we know she didn't bring the other type, and she would have to do that to fulfill her neder, so maybe she didn't, we're saying that even though she did bring it together with a childbirth, it's not even considered fulfilling it because she would have had to have brought both, but that I think is a less likely option. Okay, now, this was the case of five, right? She's got to bring both pairs of possible neder types of birds, plus an additional childbirth ola, again, because maybe the childbirth ola was never brought, because the Kohen did two above and two below. Maybe the two above were actually the two neder birds which were not brought. Okay. Here we go. Let's talk about the next case. Mishnei minin tavi sheish. If it's from two types, she must bring six. So how does Rashi explain this? This is where she brought two kinim of opposite types. And the Kohen did half above and half below. Okay, so here we go. She brought two Torim and two Bnei Yonah. She was supposed to bring two pairs, meaning one pair of Torim and one pair of Bnei Yonah, alongside her childbirth korban. So, she must bring six birds. Okay? So let's see what's going on here. So the Mishnah continues according to Rashi and again Kahati's first pshat. We read on the Mishnah to explain the case of six. Okay, Nitanatam laKohen. So again, she brought one of each type of bird, and she's supposed to have one of them be for Olos, even though she really was supposed to have brought both types of birds to be Olos, because again, she promised, alongside my childbirth korban, I will bring a neder of a specific type of bird. She forgot what type of bird, that's what happened here. And now instead of bringing all four of one type as the korban of childbirth, she's brought two of each type. So this introduces extra doubts like the previous case. Let's read what happened. Natanatam laKohen, she gave them to the Kohen. V'in yadua ma natna. And we don't know what she gave the Kohen. Halacha Kohen ve'asa, ve'en yadua me'asa. Everything we don't know. The final case of having six, no one knows what's happening. Tzricha lehavi od arba predot l'nidra. She needs to then bring an additional four predot for her neder. Ushtayim lechovata, and an additional two predot for her chova. Okay. And v'chatat achat, she needs to bring not to read through. Let's go through this one more time. Last case we saw was the case of five, where everyone's at five. This is going to be the sixth case and the seventh case. Let's try to figure out. If she brought two kinim of opposite types, okay, so, and the Kohen messes up and does half above and half below, she must bring a total of six extra birds. Why? Since we don't know which type was actually the childbirth one, and that maybe both were brought below, we must bring one ola from each type to complete the childbirth kain, then a total of two olas of each type since the neder was not completed altogether. The case of six is very straightforward. Again, she brought two torim and two bnei yonah. Which one was the childbirth?
We don't know.
So whichever one the childbirth was, first of all, worst case scenario is that the two neder birds were brought above. So she still needs to bring one ola from the childbirth kan, no matter which one it was. So that's two, because she doesn't know if it was Torim or Ben Yonah. So in order to fulfill childbirth, she's got to bring one Tor and one Ben Yonah, Olas. Plus, she never fulfilled her Neder, so she's got to bring an additional two Torim and an additional two Ben Yonah. As Neders, that's the case of six. Okay? So again, one more time.
That's recorded. Good.
Yes.
How many birds was she planning on bringing?
She was planning on bringing four, but she forgot what the latter two were supposed to be. So originally, she has to bring six. She brought four of two opposite types, and now she has to bring an additional six. But they're not the same korbanot. What's fascinating here is because the Kohen has for sure done the chatat of childbirth, she actually has to bring only six olas. Three of each type of ola. Again, one of each type of ola, because maybe the childbirth ola was never brought, and the two olot that were given were actually from the neder portion, so to say, from the neder type of bird. Okay? Additionally, she has to bring her neder alongside her childbirth ola. She must bring one pair of torim and one pair of bnei yonah. So she will end up bringing six olas.
So why don't we just say, because she said she was going to bring four of them. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to bring four. Why can't she just bring four but do it right?
If she remembers, she can. Then she's got to bring six to begin with.
I'm going to bring four more, but we're going to make sure.
But that's the point. In earlier cases, the four more can help. If she knows that she did the childbirth one correct, for example. Or, right, any case where we are certain that the ones that she did had any effect, she doesn't have to bring some of those anymore. But at a point when she's created more problems by bringing the first set, or the Kohen, I should say, has created more problems by bringing the first set, then we got to make up for that. But if she would have done the first set properly, then she'll only have to bring the remainder. Right? If she told the Kohen, for example, okay, let's say this exact case, she says, one of the earlier cases of the Mishnah, to make it really simple, okay? She says, together with my childbirth, I'm going to bring a specific type of Kohen. She forgets which type. So she brings two opposites. She says, Kohen, please perform this one, one above, one below, and please perform the other one as two above. And the Kohen does it, then all she's got to do is bring the other type of bird as two above. And that's the end of the story.
Okay, so it's because she wasn't sure what she said she was going to bring, that she has to bring more than four sometimes.
Correct. Right. In theory, she only ever intended to promise an additional two upon her childbirth, but since she forgot which type, so that's what makes problems. The first set of problems and the second set of problems are made by the Kohen. And the third set of problems by this one and that one. Okay. The case of seven, which I just read, Netanatam LaKohen. Okay, let's get to the case. So if the Kohen messes up and does half above and half below, and everyone forgot which types of birds she brought all together. Okay, so no one has any clue. Did she bring four of the same? Did she bring two and two? Did she bring four of the other type? The Kohen just knows, all the Kohen knows is I did half above, half below, and all we know about her is that she said she was going to bring a particular specific type of Kohen along with her childbirth. Now we've got some problems. Now we've got some problems. Real problems. Okay? So, again. Exactly. Netanatam la Kohen v'in yadua manatna, halacha Kohen v'asa v'in yadua me'asa. And here the Kohen doesn't even know what he did, by the way. In this case, we add an additional factor. The Kohen doesn't even know if he brought two above and two below. He's like, oh, I don't know, maybe I did them all above, maybe I did them all below. You can see why this is more problems. Okay, the Kohen here is, in addition to not asking Shailas, is also just forgetful. Okay, so we don't know what's going on. In that case, and this is fascinating, okay? In that case, Chichalavi Odar Bapredot Lenidra. So, here we go. We don't know which one was the childbirth one, and maybe both of the childbirth were brought below, or maybe both of the childbirth were brought above. Right, again, worst case scenario, the Kohen has no idea what he did. Okay? So, childbirth not fulfilled. Now, okay? And, okay, she's got to bring all of the previous six birds for the same reason. Right? She's got to bring all of the previous six birds. Why? Because it's exactly like the last case. In the last case, is the Kohen did half above, half below, correct? So that would result in her having to bring six olas. All good so far? Plus, again, as we just said, maybe all of the childbirth ones were done as olas, which means she's lacking a chatat. So at the very minimum, what do we have to bring? The six birds from the last case, all six olas, plus at least one additional chatat. Okay? This is the final case of the Mishnah.
If you get six, it's easy to get seven.
Six. Correct. Six is easy to get seven.
I'm glad you got it.
Let's go over this one more time.
I still don't totally get five or six.
So again, let's go over one more time. Worst case scenario for six. Okay, let's just make sure we know six, because again, once you got six, six is the basis for seven. Worst case scenario, five again, I thought was the hardest to figure out. In the case of six, again, there the Kohen did it half above and half below. So we know that the chatat of the childbirth was fulfilled. That one, yes, we're happy about. We do not know whether the ola of childbirth was fulfilled, because maybe the two olas that the Kohen brought were the olas of the Neder Korban. Good? Meaning maybe the two olas that the Kohen brought in the previous case of six were the Neders of the Ola, were the olos of the Neder. Okay? Which means he did zero olas of the childbirth Kohen. Good? Now, we also don't know of which type the childbirth Kohen was. So for that, just for the childbirth, she's got to bring one tor and one ben yonah, each as olas. Okay? And no chatats. Just from the childbirth, though. That's in case of six. Plus she needs to bring the two Torim and the two B'nai Ona along with it because of her promise. Okay, that was the case of six. Now in seven, we have the additional factor that Kohen does not remember if he did two above, two below. He's like, oh, maybe I did all of them above, maybe I did all of them below. So in addition to the two Olas that you had to bring for the last case, you also have to bring two Chatats, because maybe they were all performed as Olas. Well, you also have to bring, sorry, at least one Chatat. Well, we'll get to the one versus two, okay? You also have to bring an additional Chatat at least, because the Chatat of childbirth was not fulfilled. Plus, you have to bring an additional four of, again, the two Torim and two B'nai Ona that she promised to bring alongside her childbirth sacrifice. Let's try to sort out the Chatat, okay? So in this case, you've got at least seven. So you've got four Olot, two additional Olot that are replacements for the Ola of the childbirth. Plus, says the Mishnah, Tanakama says, V'chatat achat, you've got to bring one Chatas. So since you're obligated to bring an Ola of both types to replace the Ola of childbirth, just choose one Chatas. They say choose one Chatas, and that will be the Chatas of the childbirth. Essentially what they're saying is do-over. Okay, you've got a do-over here. Okay. Okay? And again, they say don't worry about which type it was, because anyways, the chovos are really a suffix, but it doesn't matter. The chatas can work no matter which type of root it is. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says, if you'll remember way earlier, back in Perek Beis, Ben Azai says everything goes after the one that's brought first. So Ben Azai says, basically, that we are concerned, okay? Technically, it could have been the two that were above were for the neder. He still owes a complete pair of the same type that he brought originally for childbirth, so he must bring a chatas for both. Essentially, what Ben Azai is saying, whatever we did with the Ola, you got to do with the chatas as well. Since we're not sure which type the Ola of the childbirth Khan was from, whether it was from Torim or from B'nai Ona, so you got to bring one of each, so too you got to bring a chatas of one in each. Because you messed up then. Whereas the Chachamim say, don't worry about which type it was, you just got to make sure one Chatas is brought. That's the Machlokas here. Again, Ben Azai is a little bit more, I guess, internally consistent. But the bottom line is, you'll either have to be bringing seven birds or eight birds. Okay? And this is the final Kinim case of Masechet Kinim that we just saw, this last case. So you can wish yourselves a mazel tov, and then you have a reflective comment from Rabbi Yehoshua, who according to some is the author of the entire Masechet, by the way. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Zehu she'amru, this final case, is what they say, kishuhu chai, when an animal is living, kolo echad, it makes one type of noise. What's the type of noise it makes? A sheep? Bah. Uchshuhu meit, but when the sheep dies, kolo shiv'a, you get seven different noises. Okay, it's not kolo shiv'a. How can you get seven different noises from a dead sheep? Shtei karnav, shtei chatzotzrot. Says, well, not necessarily a sheep, but, okay, you take its two horns, and that makes two trumpets, or two somethings that you can blow. Shtei shokav, his two thighs. Shnei chalilin, you can take the bones, presumably, from inside, and whittle them into flutes. Oro, his skin, you can use leto for a drum. Me'av, his innards, presumably the intestines, can be used linvalim. For some sort of stringed instruments. You can use them as strings, in a stringed instruments. B'nei me'av l'kinorot, and I think that's what nevel, right? Certainly from the, maybe the intestines is for the kinorot. What's a nevel, do they say? Me'av linvalim? How do they translate? Lear. What?
Lears.
Liars. Okay, lears. It is pronounced probably lear. I have only ever seen, it's another one of those words, like I said earlier, that it doesn't mean anything more to me in Hebrew than in English, or vice versa.
I think it's pronounced lear.
Okay, so lear. I've only ever seen it in writing, in art scroll, and, you know, whatever. Haluhu ben nevel v'chinor. So anyways, the point is, nevel and chinor are these two instruments. So if you add, okay, the two chatzotzrot, the two chalilin, that's four, oro letof is five, Me'avlin Valim is six, and B'nai Me'avlin Rod is seven. So the point is that it makes seven different possible sounds, or seven sounds are produced from it once it passes away. V'yesh Omrim, and some say, Aft Samro Litchelet. And some say even its tsemer, even its wool, goes to tchelet. Okay, what does tchelet have to do with sounds? So the Kohen Gadol...
String instruments.
That's not bad, although I don't think we've ever used wool in... Do we use wool in stringed instruments? It could be they actually use innards. I could believe that. I'm not sure
maybe
they...
Maybe for the
bow. What?
Maybe for the bow.
Could be.
Maybe. Maybe.
It's horsehair, but you could, I guess, maybe potentially.
So then why tchelet? And
yeah, I don't know.
So the answer the Mefarshim give is because we know the Kohen Gadol had the bells and the pomegranates at the bottom of his tchelet me'il. And since those would sort of rub against each other and make noises, exactly how it was built as a machlokas rishonim, but the bottom line is it was associated with these bells. So that was like sound number 8, presumably as an ode to Ben Azai, who has korban number 8. But the point of Rabbi Yehoshua is to say, you could have gotten away with bringing one adult animal for childbirth. You instead, first of all, she couldn't afford it, so she brought two birds. And then you opened your mouth, you made more promises. When it was alive, it was only one. Now we butchered it so much, it's into 7. You got to bring 7 birds, 8
That's
birds.
In addition to the mistake ones, it's up to 12.
Yes. And so this is the reflective comment of Rabbi Yehoshua. Let's just finish off with a nice or not nice thought of Rabbi Shimon ben Akashia. Presumably the brother of Rabbi Hananya ben Akashia, I assume, but I don't know that for a fact. But I don't know of many Akashias. So Rabbi Shimon ben Akashia Omer, Ziknei Am Ha'aretz. Rabbi Shimon ben Akashia says, elderly people who are Amei Ha'aretz, who are bereft of Torah knowledge, and by the way, Am Ha'aretz in the times of the Mishnah, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, had a more sinister feel to it. Amei Ha'aretz was not just people nowadays. You'd say, oh, he's an Am Ha'aretz, he doesn't know anything. That's not what Am Ha'aretz was. Am Ha'aretz were people who were not only not educated, but likely, because of their lack of education, to do harm to people. The Gemara says very harsh things about one who lets their daughter marry an Am Ha'aretz, says he will act inappropriately with her in her marriage. We know of Amei Ha'aretz being concerns for Trumot and Masrot, and other things. It wasn't just, oh, this was someone who wasn't so learned. People who are not so learned are considered in the good camp. These were people who, again, there was a little bit more to them. So when the Mishnah says negative things about Amei Ha'aretz, it's not saying, you know, someone who doesn't learn so much Torah. It's saying someone who is actually a little bit more, had a lot more negatives to them. So Amei Ha'aretz, Ziknei Am Ha'aretz, the elders of the Amei Ha'aretz, Kol Zman Shemaz Kinim Datan Mitarefet Aleihen. When they get older, they become less smart. Shene Emar, Aviv Pasuk in Iyov, Mesir Safal Ne'emanim V'Ta'am Zekenim Yikach. It says when for these elderly people, he will take away Ta'am Zekenim. They forget things and they know even less Amei Ha'aretz. However, Aval Ziknei Torah, but people who grow old with Torah Einan Kein. That's not the case. The more elderly they get, their knowledge settles in. It is absorbed more. Sheneemar, as it says, b'yishishim chokma ve'orech yamim tivuna. With the elders is chokma, and the length of days is, again, understanding, wisdom, whatever you want to translate tivuna as. The point is, as we sit here and we complete another mesechet, we know that we are growing in our Torah knowledge, in our Torah observance, and this helps us continue to remain sharp and to hopefully continue to grow in Torah and see Chachma and Tivuna, even if this Mishnah was a little bit tough or very tough, as we said from the beginning. Bottom line is we powered through it, and Yasher Kochachem. To all of you, including if Melech is listening to this recording at any point, it's tough mesechta, but yasher koach.
Okay.
And, yeah, we'll say hadron alach mesechet kinim. Yes. Have a great day.